Wow, just left Wembley Stadium. So I'm going to do this podcast in reverse. It's the new United West Ham podcast. Getting cold in, actually. Brought to you in association with Improve Easy. Helping United fans get proper energy solutions. There's government funds available for free solar panels, boilers, etc. Just text the word EASY, E-A-S-Y, to 60777. You might be missing out. And Manchester United nearly missed out on the FA Cup final because leading 3-0 against Coventry City, as you know, and Coventry brought it back to 3-3. Jeez, it's cold there. That was horrendous and exciting and dramatic in pretty equal measure there. For once at half time, you're thinking United are in control, hadn't conceded anything, not even chances, which is not like Manchester United. So at half time, the Reds had had 11 shots on target. 11 shots. Coventry had one. Looked completely comfortable. Was leading 2-0. That became 3-0. Good goals. And all your worries about playing Casemiro at centre-half, for example, start to fade away. Because it was exciting. It was comfortable. You know, you're even a little bit gutted on behalf of the Coventry fans because they're good people and they're having a nice day and they're getting absolutely blitzed. And then Coventry changed the formation at half time. They went from 3 at the back to 4 at the back and they went for it and it came off for them big time. And United's heads dropped and their momentum looked unstoppable. So I left my seat. I had to work today doing interviews straight after the game. I left my seat when their fourth went in, thinking, I cannot believe what I've just watched here. I'm absolutely stunned as to what I've seen. This isn't good enough. I couldn't see the manager surviving his job. And I walk down and I'm surrounded by Coventry fans. And I see VAR. I thought, oh, is there a slight chance? Is there a slight chance? I put a little radio on. It's looking like offside. God, the relief. But desperate, no? Completely desperate. And the United section, good chunks of empty seats after Coventry brought it back to 3-3. People had just had enough and went to penalties. Casemiro did a Bobbins first one. And again, you're thinking, I can't believe this. So I'm watching this in the tunnel, which is a privilege. But Erik ten Hag's in front of me with his arms around his coaches and the other players, thinking, this is a show of unity, but the team look anything but united. If you're 3-0 up against a championship team, you've got to be controlling that. Maybe you let one goal in, but three goals? And United came through. Nonana, just spoke to him actually. Reckons his quote tricks helped win the penalty shootout. I said, what are your tricks? He said, it's a secret. I said, but does anyone else know your secret? Said to some of the other players. So I like that. He's cheeky, he's funny. And I'm freezing. In May soon. Coming back in May. Repeat FA Cup final. First time that's ever happened, I think. I think someone told me, a statistical nerd called Richard Martin. It has happened once before, but it was that long ago. There was an English and Scottish team in the final. You know what? I'm walking in the co-op on Wembley Way. Not because it's a Manchester company, but because I'm freezing and I need to warm up for 30 seconds.
Lily?
So, just let me warm up. 30 seconds is all that I need. I might buy something. Maltesers, where are you? Haribo's. Yeah, Haribo's and mint. Bit of chocolate there. You just feel the temperature. Apologies about this, but I'm sure you've all been there at the match. And it's not your fault that I've gone underdressed for a football game. Or maybe it's just the nerves of it all. Any positives? Harry Maguire's goal was a belter. He played well. Bruno Fernandes kept driving forward. They're probably the best two players. But there's a few of them lads had very, very disappointing games today. Aaron Wan-Bissaka up front, so still a struggle. Rasmus Højlund, Marcus Rashford. And the most optimistic part of me is thinking, well, there's games against Sheffield United and Burnley at Old Trafford, but even then, Burnley had a good win at the weekend. You know, this United team is really, really poor and looked totally shot by the end of it. It wasn't just Casemiro's legs which were dragging, the whole team collectively. Coventry City nearly went through, imagine that. I couldn't have seen the manager surviving after that, but he does survive, and I've just spoken to him, and he's as you would expect him to be. He's like, I'm going to get better, we know about the injuries, but he's lost support today from United fans. There's still some support for him, I'm sure a lot of people still want it to work out for him. Equally, there's a lot of people who think enough is enough. No magical solutions. I'd still love it to work out for him, but I'm massively concerned watching the games that I've seen. United had not won a game in four before this one, but then before that it was 8 out of 10, and we know our results affect the mood. I'm walking past Box Park now. This was Coventry's today, so I went in there before the game because I had to meet somebody, and they were playing songs from Coventry. Never realised, well, I sort of did, how many good bands come out of Coventry. So many, tune after tune, and the fans I spoke to were buzzing to reach the semi-final. They've seen their club go down to the fourth division recently as well. I think when United were winning the Europa League 2017, Coventry City played at Bury and lost and had 300 travelling fans. Wembley Way has totally changed. Look at it now, there used to be nothing here. Now there's loads of apartments, food stores, coffee stores. And I'm just going to stay near Euston Station tonight. Who else did I spoke to? Milan, the Dutch lad who plays for Coventry, 23 years old. Heartbroken. Said, how are you feeling? He said, my head's clouded. Can't think straight. Proud. Gutted. And the jeopardy of that game would be understandable to see why he felt like that. But it's just so wayward what we're watching at the moment. Now, playing a central midfielder at centre half shows how bad the injuries are, and I feel like a stuck record because this has been the case all season. It cannot possibly carry on like this, can it? You know, Erik ten Hag's thinks that injuries have done him this season, and that when he gets his players back, we'll be back next season where we were last season. Yeah. Let's be realistic. We ain't winning the league, but we ain't anywhere near as bad as we were. And if he gets the players that he wanted, so he wanted a six, that's why he got Casemiro, but he really wanted Frenkie de Jong. I think that this year's transfer market is not going to be easy either. So when I see talk of clear outs, shake ups, I'm like, how? If players are on a contract, if Christian Eriksen wants to stay or Casemiro wants to stay, they can do. And what are you getting for the money? What does 50 million buy you? Does it buy you anything better than what we've got at the moment? I'm not convinced. But some things have got to improve. You bring a striker in so that Rasmus Højlund, who's faded the last month or two. Remember the run up to Luton when United were winning games? He was doing well. Less so. Now he needs support. He's a young lad. He needs taken out the firing line. Loads of them do. So if you're going to, you know, they're going to buy the 2, 3, 4 players that they tend to do each summer, move a few on. Nobody's going to be sad that Anthony Martial's going. And just walking up here to the tunnel underneath near Wembley Park train station. And it's a mixture now of locals who live here, which don't know how many, because they've got loads of flats, and the odd straggler. I've been in the ground for 2 hours after the game, nearly 2 hours. So what on earth people have been doing for 2 hours? Maybe they've had a drink. Anything positive? Well, the goals were good. The academy system's good. There's a final on Tuesday night, which if you can, try and get to support the under-18s. They're playing at Lee Sports Village against Manchester City. I went to a lovely Association of Former Manchester United Players dinner on Friday at Old Trafford. Cheers, Ray, for the invite. You see just how rich the history is of our club. But what we're watching is not doing that service. This team is a shadow of what they should be, even with the players who are fit and who are playing. And it's week after week, and that's what leads to a drop in support for the manager. Walking up the steps now to Wembley Station, which is a buzz when your ankle feels like mine does. Head into central London, we'll be back. I don't think the cup final, we'll all be going into it with such heavy hearts, because City will be clear favourites for it. But we're in it. Occasionally football throws up surprises, but I have so little optimism about where United are at the moment, about winning City. Excuse me, mate, I'm doing a Man United podcast. Can I just have your thoughts as a Coventry fan, how you feel?
For the first half, we were terrible.
Yeah.
Let you play far too much. Second half, when we started applying pressure, it was like maybe we were more the Premier League team and yous were the Championship side. And obviously, we got a bit lucky with the second goal, massive deflection, but just seeing the energy change between the two teams.
And in your end as well.
Yeah, that's massive. I also noticed one thing I thought was mental from a Man U perspective. There was a big tackle on Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
Because we're up against it at this point as well.
Yeah.
3-3. Still in the 90th minute. 90 minutes. And he just walked all the way back to the halfway line.
Yeah.
Like, piss poor mentality, really.
I've just spoke to one of your players, Milan, the Dutch lad.
Yeah.
Good lad.
Yeah, very
he's
good.
He's devastated.
Player. Yeah.
Speaks really well.
Yeah.
Said his head's clouded, was what he said after that. I mean,
they all put a shift in there. That's probably our season over now, but it's been a brilliant season, I guess.
And last season was as well.
Yeah, last season was another good season. Just a shame we couldn't get over the line to playing new boys every week.
We're not great. Your club is in a far better position than it was even. I watched you at Bolton a few years ago. I came there in 2012 when all the arguments were going on with the owners. You know, there were times when I didn't think you'd survive.
Yeah, we've gone through a lot, and it's mainly down to Mark Robbins and Eddie Vivesh.
Yeah.
Them two together. Without them, we wouldn't have come back up from League Two, and God knows where we'd be now. Probably be in the same position as Bury.
Yeah.
Genuinely. It's definitely down
to Bury. One of the Cov fans I spoke to earlier said that Bury game was like your lowest point. They beat you like 6 years ago.
Yeah,
300 Coventry fans there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to cheer you up a little bit, because it's easy to be magnanimous when your team have won, but never realised how many good tunes come out of Coventry.
Yeah, we have. We like to try and get a song for every single player. We like to try and sort that out. So every player that we sign, we like to try and get a song for them. But we like to.
The Eat and Bolt song's brilliant, what you were all singing. But also, like, the music, the bands, The Enemy would come from there. I knew that Specials came from there, and Terry Orr, but there was a load played before the game.
It's very good for music, Coventry, especially The Enemy coming through in recent years, probably the most biggest one other than the Specials. But yeah, it's good, and it's good that we've adopted it into the football team, because before games, every game we sing it right before kickoff, and it just gets the players up for it.
I could see that before. One final question. I've just been complaining here, because I'm recording it, that I'm freezing cold, and I've just gone in the co-op. I've got four layers on. You're wearing shorts and a Coventry City t-shirt. Am I the wimpy?
No, it is freezing, but I flew in from Portugal at 6 a.m. this morning to get here. So,
did you?
Yeah.
What, do you live over there?
No, I stag do.
Did you? Yeah. So you've come in from there?
Yeah.
And you're not going back there?
No, I'm going home.
You're just
going
forward. Well, was it a good stag do?
Yeah, it was a good stag do, yeah. The shame the best man, no, I'm sorry, the groom is a Villa fan, so.
Okay. Well, cheers for your time. What's your name?
Michael.
Okay, Michael. Russell. Thanks for your time. And my respect for your club and your fans, it only went up today, and I don't mean that in a patronising way as well.
Yeah. All right.
Early start in Manchester. The bus left at 7 a.m. From Old Trafford, and progress is good. Manchester United or Coventry City will play Manchester City in the final. It gutted that Chelsea didn't win yesterday, to be honest, but there you go. On a bus with Peter Boyle, he's sat with me. Peter, as you'll probably know, is big old Pete, according to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Has started songs at Old Trafford for years and years. How are you feeling about the game today, Peter?
I'm trying to lift myself up. I feel a bit flat after the season we've had. And,
yeah, me too.
And I think, you know, there was no guarantee we would have beat Chelsea, but I think we all wanted Chelsea in the final. Of course, if we beat City, in many ways it'd be a bit of payback, and it'd be better to beat them. But I think the fact if you lose to Chelsea, it won't feel as bad, and I think it could be the end to an underachieving season if we have a poor display against City in a final. I'm not taking everything for granted. I think Coventry, you know, I've got a bit of a, I wouldn't say a soft spot, but I've got a bit of nice memories about Coventry.
Yeah, I'm the same. I would never have said soft spot, and if we were playing them every season, I definitely wouldn't be saying that. But
yeah,
it sort of takes you back to a different stage in your life, doesn't it? When we used to go
the road
all the time.
Well, I've got good memories. I mean, I remember someone referring to the game, and it made me laugh because someone referred to the game as the Andy Cole game, and we both know which game that is. But to hear it referred to as the Andy Cole game is quite warm for me, because it was a nice period, obviously, of our recent history. And of course, I always look back to the amount of times I've bored my lad George over there with the Dennis Irwin goal in 93. And I tell people, believe it or not, that goal was scored into the home end. And you couldn't tell because the whole end goes up. And that's when we really fought. We're on the cusp of that first title, of course, in 26. But going back to 1980... we'd lost 1-0 in the League Cup second round, a Mark Hatley goal at Old Trafford. I always think it went under Gary Bailey's body like a bit of a pea shot, like from about 20 yards. Not a great shot.
Mark Hatley was playing for Coventry.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Because obviously his dad was Tony, was a player of the year. And Mark Hatley played for Coventry, and he scored and beat us 1-0. And then I've done an article about this before, but I went to the away game on my own. I was only 10. I wouldn't let my kids go on their own now.
You were 10?
I was 10 years old.
And you went to an away match?
I went to Coventry. I booked on the official coach.
Okay.
I told my mum I was getting booked to coach. I was going to Coventry. She said, very nice. It was half term, October or September, whatever. And it must have been October. And she said, I can't go. I just bought a ticket on open sale because it was second leg game. And then so a few days later, my dad come down, and the coach went from the forecourt, the old National Express coach, you know, where the case stand steps are. And the coach wasn't going until about 4 o'clock, half four. And I got down there about 11 o'clock in the morning from Timperley. And by the time the coach came, I felt sick because I was hungry. And my dad come down in his overalls and said to Dave Smith, the old supporters club guy, he shouldn't really be going on his own, but you know, he's here now. And now they wouldn't let you go, obviously. And they looked in a bit disbelief. So this old guy sat me in front of the coach next to him with a sheepskin coat, goes, "Do you want a sandwich?" All my eyes lit up, I ate that. Went down there, and then the windscreen went through by pure freak finger. It was an explosion, so we had to go to Birmingham New Street and change coaches. And there was nothing sinister about it. It was just a weird thing. And the older lads on the back from Timperley were saying, "Oh, we got bricked." We didn't get bricked, you know what I mean? And we went and we got beat 1-0. And we got back to Altrincham bus station, you know, like midnight, whatever. My dad met me, and my dad didn't drive me those days, and we walked back to the Timberley. But yeah, I wouldn't let my own kids go, but I went to my first away game on my own at Highfield Road in 1980, 10 years old.
You've jogged a few things there in my mind, even just mentioning Altrincham. I remember before I go to United by myself at 13, I was allowed to go to Altrincham, or I'd watch family members wherever.
Yeah.
But I was allowed to go with my mates to Altrincham. And I remember being 10, 11 and seeing an advert in Altrincham's programme for an away trip to Boston United. And I just remember thinking, how brilliant would it be going on a bus somewhere to watch a football game? Imagine going across the other side of the country. And I never went on it, but that was the first time that it caught my attention. But still on Altrincham. Well, yeah, you're about to say this. Good luck to him on Wednesday, because they've had the best season in 40 years.
Yeah.
Probably since when I... read that advert, and they finished, I think, fourth in the National League, so got a chance of going up to the Football League for the first time ever. They were really harshly done to in the 70s when it was a re-election system, and in the words of the great Graeme Heathcote, an Altrincham legend,
he is a Graeme,
the guy who was supposed to come and vote for us to get into the Football League got pissed and didn't turn up.
Was he the Luton guy as well? I'm sure it was
Rochdale Luton. Stayed up.
Rochdale stayed up. I'm sure. I remember the story of the Urban Myth. They lost by so many votes, which is a farce itself. And once they brought the actual promotion, they sort of dropped off a bit. And do you also remember when they also blew it? 1992.
I do.
And Tate and Greavesy did a feature on him saying how good they're altering him after all these years, and it jinxed it. And United, we were going to get to win the league for the first time in 25, and ultimately we were going to get promoted, and we both blew it, didn't we?
So Altrincham were known as the Manchester United of non-league football. It's a wealthy part of Manchester. They had a very good administration. People like Peter Swales, who became chairman of Manchester City, Noel White, who became chairman of Liverpool, both came through Altrincham. And I got to know, some of them were in my family. My great uncle had managed them. My granddad had played for them. My uncle was a kit man. My brother played for them. My other brother, you know, I've got so many family connections there. And I remember that doing a piece on their giant killing exploits. And they went to Liverpool and scored when Liverpool were European champions.
4-1, I think they got beat. Yeah.
They held Everton at Goodison Park.
They held Tottenham 1-1.
They held Tottenham.
Yeah.
And there were stories like the goalkeeper, a bit nervous pre-match, so he'd have 3 pints.
Well, the point was, with Alti, they used to always get, like Blyth Spartans when I was a kid, they got to the fifth round. But Alti always used to get a big team in the third round, which was good for the finances, but they never progressed amongst the third round, of course, until they beat Birmingham. I think it was 1986.
A non-league team beating what would be a Premier League team. And it happened. They had a hard scouser called John King.
I remember,
and he passed away last year.
He did.
And he'd been at Everton as a kid ever and had to let him go because he was just too hard for them. You know, he was just going to get too many cards. And he went to Altrincham. And I got put in touch with him 20 years ago. And he was, "Hello, Mr. Mitten." "Yep, I've been told that you're going to call me Mr. Mitten. It's a pleasure to speak to you." And I just said, John, can I just give you a quote about what someone said about you?" "Yes, sir. Certainly, sir." And he ran a scaffolding company on an estate in Liverpool. I said, "John King came to the Kettering Town dressing room door and said, 'Come on, you absolute twats. Fucking get out here now. Let's get stuck into you.'" So Kettering's team was shitting themselves before they went out there. And I repeated that to John King. He went, "Right, come on then, what do you want to fucking talk about?" And he was brilliant.
That's fantastic. I think what was that winger called? Was it Barry Siltman? Am I making that up? Left winger, little dazzling left winger for Alti. And they had some good times. I mean, I remember seeing them a few times when United were playing away. And I think I seen them play against Huddersfield and when a packed crowd there in the FA Cup game. And yeah, I mean, they were good. They were just very unlucky. I remember being a bit jealous because Maidstone got promoted.
Yeah,
because 86, they just came good as Alti were faltering. You know what I mean? I'll
tell you one more Altrincham story. So they drew at Everton. They took them back to a replay, but the ground's too small, so it was played at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
One of the lads who's been on his podcast, Webby from Urmston, famous for doing Rod Stewart impressions and drinking a pint of Pernod, and once got to get a paper telling his wife he'd be back in 10 minutes, but he went to Blackpool for 3 days. So he went to the players' entrance at Old Trafford, said, "I'm an Altrincham player," but because they were non-league, the people on the door didn't know who any of them were. So Webby said, they said, "We don't believe you, you're not a player, why are you what with the other players?" He went, "I am." And he got a cutting out and showed him with all the players because he was mates with them all. So they let him in. So he jibs into Old Trafford and then he goes in the dressing room, takes all his clothes off, gets in the bath. So all the players come in after playing Everton and he's sat there with no clothes on because he's in a bath. And it's a good look anyway to all the... A lot of United fans, actually, professionals are involved, giving the time for free, consulting, serious people, media, comms.
Rod Formley played from a corner.
Well, Rod played up front with my brother. And Colin Little, who's also a coach at United. Colin and Rod were both legends there. My brother was legends at other clubs. But my brother did score the goal, the penalty, which got him into the playoff final.
United's youth team manager. I took Bella, who's 17 now, my daughter.
Yeah.
I took her as a baby to the pre-season game. And Ollie came over and had a picture and held Bella. And it was your mate, the old chairman, Jeff, he put me in the director's box. Now, you know the director's box at Alty is about six seats.
I know.
And I was sat with the late Jack Crompton.
Yeah, Jack and Sheila Crompton used to go to Altrincham
sat with us
all the time. Right,
by the end, I decided to take Bella out about 10 minutes to go, but all these young lads, like the equivalent, like, I used to call them the Sailing Altrincham Squirrels, like not like the Mustard and Rats, like, because they were posse, right? And they were all there. And after I'd left, they only raided the pitch and the game got abandoned. And I was mortified because they'd let on to me. I'd already gone. Luckily, I wasn't there to see it. It was only like a UT game. But United scored and they all jumped on the pitch and they had to get the game abandoned. Well, Georgie and his cousin, Tom, and their old cousin, they go and watch Alty and his mates, because a lot of the kids at his school don't have the privilege of going to watch Premier League football. But they go and watch Alty.
These are local people, can't get access to Premier League tickets, so they go and watch Altrincham. There's something sad about that, to be honest, that you could have gone to United when you were a kid. And
definitely.
So we're not going to talk about Altrincham anymore, but we wish them good luck. How are you feeling about today? Do you think United will beat Coventry?
I think we should beat Coventry. I mean, I think Coventry won't fear us at all. I think they'll be looking at the other competition. You think about Newport, who I think they've lost seven on the run now. And Newport, let's be honest, we were rocking at 2-2. We started off at 2-0 at Newport. I think I spoke to Blackie about on the podcast, and I said we were trying to do like little backflips as if we were like prime Barcelona, right? You know, and I said put the game to bed. And how many times with this current team have we got into a lead, and you think we can put this to bed now? And then you could say that about most of the Champions League campaign, you know, away. And I think today, I think it could be another 4-2. I think we should win, but I wouldn't be overly surprised if we didn't win. I think we should win. And you just want to hope we can, you know, there's something really missing. And I really think that I back Ten Hag all the way through, and I still want to back Ten Hag. And I think he's got lots of the big decisions right. But deep down now, my heart does think, not my heart, but I would get rid of him. I just don't think he's the man for Ratcliffe. I just think it's quite clear. And I fear for the replacement coming in, if it is the two that have been linked, as in Potter and Southgate. I'll back any manager, but I fear for it. I want Ten Hag to stay. And you know the ironic thing is, Andy, what we've lacked since Fergie and David Gill is a structure, and it looks like we're just getting that structure ready now with the new appointments. And it'd be such a shame if Ten Hag's not given the chance to have a proper football relationship with the
people around him.
And that, you know, to me, because he's had his hands tied. He's not made every decision right, but I do like him. I think he's almost tripped himself up by overachieving in that first season. Let's be honest with you, what he did with that team in the first, if last season was this season, we'd be seeing it as progress. But people forget that Fergie went backwards in his second season on paper, if you look at how it's going, you know.
Will you be starting songs today, or is this a more chilled Peter with your medium age?
I won't be, it's my birthday tomorrow, so I'm hoping they win for me, but I won't be going in any pubs. I mean, I used to love the Torch. It was like the Bishops of Wembley, wasn't it? It was great.
Going in the Torch early 90s, and you'd be there, like, stood above everybody. You had the crowd eating out your hands. Everyone was singing. Hundreds and hundreds of people.
I once saw a copper in another part of London. I think it was on a march for the miners or something. They were, you know, political pee. And it was like in the summer or something. And this copper was in the middle of like London. He went, "The Torch," and it was like at random, you know what I mean? A copper recognised me. "You're at the Torch." I'm like, "All right, mate." And I mean, those days were great days. But today we're going to get it to the fan zone, and then we'll get in the ground early. I'll be singing along, but you know, I'll be singing along, and then going for my skinny latte and having a water. I'm thinking about tomorrow's run because I'm such a bore.
I just had a text from Ian off the telly, who hosts the Talk of the Devils podcast. Do you want to meet me in the Torch? I've actually got to work today, so I will obviously do this podcast, but I'm doing it for television today, so I've got to have my head together. Pitch side, if you're interested in how it works as a journalist, so I'll be covering that for Indian television, which is obviously a big market, lots of United fans there, lots of people listening to this podcast in India as well. So you will do pre-match analysis by the side of the pitch, always looking over your shoulder in case someone tries to put a ball into your back. It happened to me slightly different, but remember the Marine against Tottenham game in the FA Cup a few years ago?
George is awesome about that game. Yeah,
so yeah. It was behind closed doors, so I had to set a camera tripod up, and at Marine there's not a huge number of places to do that because it's a non-league ground, and I set the camera up and a ball just came flying in as I was on air and Yeah. I mean, I'm not a professional cameraman, am I? So that was COVID times. But for me, it would be after the game. Because you're working for a rights holder, you can speak to the managers. So last time I would have been at Wembley was the cup final. And you're gutted. Well, because I've got to be a neutral journalist and speak to Pep Guardiola or whoever. But it would be Erik ten Hag. It would be the, you know, you ideally want the winning goal scorer, the man of the match. That's where your story is. So if it's Coventry, it's obviously a huge upset. Mark Robbins, probably do him anyway. And that's where you've got 2 or 3 minutes. Hit them with straight questions straight away. And in the Liverpool game at Old Trafford, I was actually stood 2 metres from where, you know, when Jurgen Klopp lost his temper a bit.
Yeah.
Well, I was right by that. So I did a piece with Diogo Dello. What stepped aside, because Klopp was waiting to use my camera. I don't know him. So he stepped in and I'm stood like 2 metres from him. And then I can see him starting to lose it. Yes, it was. And the Danish journalist is a very good journalist. And I don't think he did anything wrong at all. And I'm like, okay, I'll keep this to myself. But we live in times when it was going out anyways live. So within half an hour, became the story.
I just praised Klopp online, saying, I thought, considering he was very dignified about how he mentioned United, and someone says, you've not seen this one, have you? And I went, wow. Because, you know, but yeah, to be honest with you, I got asked this by Norwegian TV before the 5-0 game a few years ago. What would you say to Klopp as he comes past? And I said, I'll abuse him because he's Liverpool manager, but not in a really Norwich way. I might make fun of his teeth or his smile, whatever. I said, but he's a good human being. I said, you know that, to me, Andy, a lot of ex-Liverpool managers play lip service like Benitez. They kiss the badge, they make a donation to the Justice for 97 Fund, right? They say the right things, but Klopp gets it. Klopp embraces Liverpool culture. And as a person, let's be honest, we would have loved him at Old Trafford, you know. I was gesturing to him, you're cracking up and all that, but if I met him, I'd be dead civil to him. I'd almost shake his hand. But to me, he's a proper football person. I hate him. The only thing I hate about him is he manages Liverpool. I don't dislike him as a person. I think that he's someone you can really respect.
Thanks for your time, Peter. So we're not far off London now. So I'm going to meet some interesting people today as part of this podcast. Feel like you're missing out because it seems everyone else is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? Cha-ching, it's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run and grow your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionising millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling, well, just about anything, football programmes to trainers, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so that you can successfully grow your business. Covering all your sales channels from a shopfront-ready POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Full of industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth, Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without learning new skills in designing or coding. And thanks to the award-winning help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. What's lovely about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and control to take your business to the next level. It's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is a possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/united, all in lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/united to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/united. The coach is just pulling in into Wembley now.
She wore a scarlet ribbon. She wore a scarlet ribbon in the Mary Buffet. And when I asked her why she wore that ribbon, she said it's for United and we're going to Wembley. Wembley! Wembley!
So Wembley just comes into view. remember seeing it for the first time in the 1990 final. So begged my dad to go to the 85 final. Couldn't get tickets. Don't think he really wanted to take me. So the solution for it was for me to take him, age 16, in 1990. And seeing it for the first time. It's funny what you remember in life. Remember Adamski, that song was just on, or maybe it was just being played that day, and the Twin Towers come into view, and then you go and it's all magical, and then you realise that actually it's a complete shithole and that the facilities are terrible and overpriced. So I don't have much time for people who over eulogise over the old Wembley. The new one is far better. It's not in the most salubrious part of London, but the mood's good. United have got here by knocking Liverpool out, which was a big surprise, and obviously Newport County, which at one point was a surprise when they came back into the game. And then it's game against Forest as well, isn't it? So here we are. I'm going to go on to Wembley Way. Walking up Wembley Way now. I've just been in the box park, and it's full of Coventry fans. Good mood in there, and delighted to be joined by Stu. Stu's a Coventry fan, and he wrote that really nice piece, mainly about Mark Robbins, in the current issue of United We Stand. Cheers for joining us on United We Stand, Stu. How are you feeling?
It's all a bit surreal. We kind of just backed away into it, and when we left Bologna last month, like, oh yeah, we've got a cup semi-final now. It's very surreal being back again after a lot of nothing. We've four times in 7 years.
That sounds pretty impressive given your struggles.
It is. Like, the first one was just like we're still here. We're still going. We still exist. Yeah, still exist. Still scraping away. And then obviously the second one was, well, that was the beginning of it, the first one. The second one was just one of the best days ever. And then we don't really talk about the last one.
So that was, I better mention it just for context. That was a playoff final last year against Luton. And I think a lot of neutrals actually wanted both teams to win, because people of my generation can remember both teams in England's top tier, and they've both had real struggles. Luton went into non-league. Coventry City went into England's fourth tier. Had massive issues with their ownership. I remember going there in 2012 and just hearing really, really frustrated fans. So it's encouraging that the team now have got average crowds of 25,000-26,000. Have you ever had crowds that high?
No. Highfield Road used to be 23,500. That's the capacity. So
yeah.
But until like the 60s, it was still there. All seaters came in. No, not really. Not for a while. It's unbelievable watching on the coach this morning. There's people 20 years older than me and 20 years younger than me. It's really, really cool to see how many people have connected or reconnected with the club.
And are these people from the city of Coventry?
Yeah, most of them. Obviously, a lot of people moved out, and people flying in from all sorts of locations for this today. But yeah, it's just really cool to do a day out of a day like this with the people we went all the way down to League Two with.
Because you were at Bury, weren't you, when you had 300?
Yeah, we had about 300. We played four centre-halves across the back, two full-backs in midfield, lost 2-1. And yeah, I was about done, and then 6 days later, sacked the manager and brought Mark Robbins back. But even that was, like, it kind of burned a few bridges, but...
Because he'd left you to move to Huddersfield.
Yeah. And there were a bit of a cloud, and wasn't too sure why he'd come back, but we're really, really glad that he did.
It's done magnificently, hasn't it?
It's just, I don't think people on the top table realise he's reconnected everything. He's got us out of the league. It's like, there's only forward movement from the football club now, when for 15, 20 years it was stagnant or backwards.
So you've got 35,000 here today, your average crowd's 25. Who are the other 10,000 people? Because we've got like season ticket holders who can't get tickets.
I don't know, people who
lucky people
have really nice
don't go to football and suddenly they're allowed to come to a semi-final.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who, like I said, like disconnected when we were going through wherever we went through, but they're all back now, and it's, yeah, they've got their kids in the shirts. Yeah, it's just you kind of allow it, but remember to be there on the cold Tuesday nights against Stoke.
And you're saying people left the city of Coventry. Was that because the manufacturing base did decline? Because it was famous, what, car production?
Yeah, yeah. No, they're just people just leave the city. And then obviously you lose... When you're losing to Scunthorpe and Doncaster, no offence to them, but
yeah,
it's quite hard to... Yeah, I'm going to travel 4.5 hours to go watch that. So it was hard, but days like this have kind of made it all worth it.
Quite a few players have come through the youth system, haven't they?
Yeah, That was like the one thing we could connect with when we were falling down the leagues. We had Callum Wilson, James Madison. The League 2 team was pretty much half 30-somethings, and then half the academy. So it kind of reconnected everyone to it. And like attached someone who probably stood next to you 3 years ago who's now playing on a Wembley pitch in what was a playoff final, now a Cup 7.
I watched a Wild game a few years ago at Bolton, first game of the season. Bolton played a load of like 16-year-olds. Yeah. Somehow held out for a draw, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, three goals disallowed for offside. Never been angry at a Lions man because I'm not sure what he was seeing. But yeah, it was just... Robin's had a quote after that. He goes, it'll look a good result in a few years in Rothmans.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it does.
Yeah. How are you feeling about today? Do you think you can win?
No, I think we'll have a moment. I think we'll have a chance.
Probably get about 32 chances.
But no, I think like it's just someone said on one of our Cough podcasts a few days ago that like Bruno Fernandes is better than any player that we've ever watched play for Coventry City, which is quite galling, but actually quite like realise what we're up against today. So
you've had some players, though, haven't you?
We have, but.
Did you sign Robert Charney at one point?
For about 3 days, he went to Real Madrid.
Yeah, well, right, I was going to say, so he didn't play for you, but he was a wonderful player.
Yeah. But yeah, there were some good players in the late 90s with Strachan's teams, but that all got sold off, and then yeah, we started our descent down the leagues. But yeah, like today's just a complete free hit, kind of another... To remind people who watch on TV all over the world that, yeah, Coventry City Football Club is not all the way back, but on the way back. And it's, yeah, when that next step happens, you know, a couple of years, I hope, think it'll be every like step along the way. This is just like the next bookmark of it. Kind of thing. I think it's just really cool. Like Molineux was just.
How many did you take to Molineux?
4,500.
Okay.
Yeah, we had all the lower, then we had the corner. It's just one of the best. Well, we deserved everything we got that day, but it's one of the best away days the 4,500 people will have, because to be 2-1 down against, I know they have like issues at the minute, but to do what we did in injury time is, after what, like we sold up two of the best players of a generation, Simon Jokeres and Hamer, and the two people who have been kind of...
Went to Sporting?
Yeah, went to Sporting, Hamer went to Sheffield United. But Sims are right to step up, and the biggest game we've had so far this season.
He stepped up.
Was pretty cool. And kind of like, yeah. This like we're still on the again. Like I said, we're still making a forward movement. So it's, yeah, it was one of the all timers.
I've got a small family connection. My uncle John Mitten used to play for Coventry City in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
He only played like 50 times.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's not 5 minutes, is it?
No. So that's probably.
So yeah, and I used to really enjoy coming. I think we all enjoyed going to Highfield Road.
Yes.
And they were pretty beery away days then. There was like a social club nearby.
Yeah.
And you know, it'd be like 800 Man United fans in there. And real happy memories. So. Cheers for joining
us,
Stu.
Appreciate it.
Hopefully we'll be asking you to write about your club in United where you stand if you get into the Premier League.
Give me a couple of years. If anyone's a gambler out there, put money on us to be in the top two next year.
I'm on Wembley Way now. Introduce yourself. What's your name?
My name is Sachur. Thank you so much.
Where are you from?
I'm from Mongolia.
How have you got from Mongolia to Wembley?
I'm cycled from Mongolia to Wembley.
How long did that take you?
It's over 11 months.
11 months?
11 months, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah. Why?
It's my dream. because, you know, it's when I was a child, I want to play for Manchester United and play at Old Trafford. It's all of my dream about Manchester United. You
know, okay, I get that. I get that there's fans around the world who appreciate Manchester United, but why cycle?
Cycle is because it's I want to challenge myself. You know, it's when I was playing football the long years, and but I couldn't play in Manchester United for Manchester United. So I want to change challenge for myself.
So it's, a challenge.
Yeah, a challenge.
It must have been beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell me the countries you've travelled through.
I travelled 20 countries.
Names.
From Mongolia, China, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Iran, Turkey, Greece, Bulgaria, Macedonia, Kosovo, Montenegro, Croatia, Bosnia, Hungary, Slovakia, Austria, Germany, France, now finally in England.
What was the most beautiful place you saw?
I think it's Central Asia.
Central Asia?
Yeah.
That where? Was so amazing. Where? I will tell me where to go.
I think it's Uzbekistan because
Uzbekistan,
there I meet so many Manchester United fans and they're so kindness and so amazing people.
Did you have any problems anywhere?
No.
Not any, nothing. No problems.
Nothing,
fantastic.
Nothing.
How many punctures did you have on your bike?
It's so many times. I think it's over 40.
40?
Yes.
Wow. 40, yes. And no issues with immigration, border passports?
Yeah.
Some, okay.
Yeah.
Which countries?
Yeah, it's from Mongolia to Turkey, it's normal. It's,
okay.
I don't need visa, it's okay.
Here's my
after
passport.
It's Schengen in UK.
Yeah.
My UK visa two times repulsed. After final the third time, I got a visa. And
why did you get it third time?
Because two times repulsed, it's, I don't know, it's...
Did you show them the article we wrote about
you? Yes, article and invitation and my financial situation. And I gave everything, but it's two-time repulsed. I don't know.
And in the end, was it in Paris that they gave you your visa?
Yeah, Paris. First time I applied in Mongolia. After came in Paris and again applied and again repulsed. And second time I got the visa.
So will this be the first time you've watched Manchester United?
Yes, it's my first time all of my life.
Wow. And you will go to Old Trafford? You're going to cycle?
Yes, I will go to Old Trafford on Tuesday.
Cycling. You're cycling?
Yes, cycling.
So
it's
2 days?
Maybe 2 days, I think so. Yeah, it's maximum 4 days because it's 375 kilometers. And also in England, so many hills, you know. It's
yeah. So yeah, I've cycled from the south of England to Manchester, and yeah, Oxfordshire was really hilly, and I didn't know why. But are you in London at the moment?
Yeah.
So cycling from here. So yeah, maybe one day to Birmingham, and then one day to Manchester. But that's going quite fast.
Yeah,
so maybe
I will go to Leicester.
Yeah.
After Derby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll be at the game. You'll be at the game Manchester United against Burnley, hopefully.
Yes, I hope.
You have a ticket?
I don't have.
No?
I don't have, any ticket.
Do you want one? Do you want to ask?
Yes, but I'll get. I'll hope.
You hope?
Yeah.
But has anybody told you they'll get you one?
Yeah.
Somebody? Will anybody help you?
Yeah, maybe,
Have you spoke to the club?
Yes, I connected the club, but I didn't know it's been... exactly reached to in Old Trafford. I know.
I think we'll be able to help you get a ticket. If you're really struggling, let us know. You cannot cycle from Mongolia and not get a ticket.
Not.
I mean, it's, who's your favourite current player?
My player is Wayne Rooney. What?
And now?
Now I think it's Højlund.
Højlund.
Yeah, he's. Seems like Rooney.
So if we came to Mongolia, is it a good place for us to come? Is it beautiful?
Yes.
I'd love to come.
Yeah, it's Mongolia is so beautiful, natural, and we have nomadic life, and everything is, you can, it's so beautiful, nature and culture, and beautiful kindness people, and
good
welcome
food.
To Mongolia. Yes, very good food, meat is also very
there
delicious.
There used to be a restaurant in Manchester called the Mongolian Barbecue,
and
that was good.
Wow.
What's Mongolia famous for? Was Genghis Khan from Mongolia?
Yes. Genghis Khan. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? The wool from Mongolia is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the best cashmere wool.
Yes.
It often comes from Mongolia. The
yes,
purest
yes,
wool.
Kashmiri, yes, this is from Mongolia.
So the mills in Scotland get it often. Or in Manchester, actually.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If they get from Mongolia and it's pure, this yeah. is like, yeah. It's not cheap, it's expensive.
Yes, not cheap, yeah, yeah. It's expensive.
Who's going to win the game today?
Of course, Manchester United, because I watched it's my first time in Manchester United game. Also, it's of course, have to win.
It's been really nice to meet you finally. I have been following your journey, actually,
yeah,
through your Instagram. And
so
I think it's wonderful what you've done, and I quite like your attitude, even though I don't know you. You just, you seem quite pragmatic, and you know that you're going to have good and bad days. And just seeing some of the roads you were on in Central Asia, it was pretty inspiring. And the balloons in Turkey and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like, wow. And I travelled a lot around Europe. I wasn't as interested in that, but then actually, I became more interested when you were in Northern France. Because you made it look beautiful and
all my journey is so beautiful. It's so amazing because it's so long journey, but it's so amazing.
Thank you.